And we're joined now by Carlos Thomas, Baton Rougean for many years now, but back in the day, he played for the Vanderbilt Commodores, and tomorrow it's the SEC opener for the Fighting Tigers of LSU at Nashville against Vanderbilt. And LSU is more than a 3-touchdown favorite in a game that should be a rout, but you never know. And Carlos, do you have mixed allegiances, or is it all Vanderbilt when the Commodores are playing?
Go Tigers!
You have an affiliation with LSU as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I received my master's and doctorate from the Orso School of Business. So I've been here 20 years. I married Louisianian. I birthed two. My taxes go here, and so I'm a Tiger fan, despite having played for Vanderbilt and gotten my undergraduate degree there. So it may sound somewhat crazy, but there's something about being in the atmosphere here that just kind of gets in your blood. And so, you know, I'm probably wearing my LSU alumni
yeah,
shirt
that.
This
see
morning.
That. But Carlos Thomas, he played very well at Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, of course, is a place where it's difficult to win against the SEC juggernauts. It's a private school, the only one in the Southeastern Conference. And in 88 years, the Commodores have never won an SEC title, but they have had some competitive teams and some very good players. And one of those is Carlos Thomas, who I think as a sophomore, averaged 6 yards a carry.
That's right. That's right. And ended up getting next year the preseason second-team All-SEC honors from Paul Feinbaum. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. You know, you speak about Vanderbilt and the differences. I've been an advocate of the university leaving the SEC for quite some time, and I've voiced my opinion to the athletic department and the chancellor's there, and it's because when you actually see real SEC football and real SEC athletic culture, it's a stark difference from being in a metropolitan area like Nashville, where Vanderbilt's located. At any SEC football game, it's a good chance that you will actually be the visiting team in your own stadium. I can tell you there'll be plenty of purple and gold tomorrow, outnumbering black and gold at the stadium. And if you saw the
in Nashville,
if you saw the Georgia game, it was a sea of red. There was very little black, very little gold. It was basically Georgia, and it really, if you look at Nashville, so Nashville is one of the, you know, really progressive southern metropolitan areas. So you've got folks who come from all the SEC schools there that work there. And so when their team comes to play, they come out en masse to see their team. Regularly, when we played UT, we were the visiting team in our own stadium. Where does that happen in any other SEC stadium but Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I remember Jerry DiNardo when he was coaching at Vanderbilt. He got the LSU job right after losing 65-0 to Tennessee.
That's right.
Now, Carlos Thomas played against LSU and played very well. What do you recall about that?
You know, it's leading up to that game, the comparisons between this game and that game are eerily similar. So we had 2 weeks off to get ready for the game. We basically scrimmaged every day. We had just lost to SMU that had just come off the death penalty a year earlier. We lost bad, like 44-7. And so we really didn't have anything to lose. It was an early game, just like tomorrow's an early game. So it was a lot of similarities. It was a really hard-fought game. I think David Walkup knocked me out a couple of times, the linebacker.
Yeah.
I tore the ligament in my thumb, and so it was hanging off, and they had to tape that up so I could finish the game.
Kind of like Drew Brees, right?
Kind of like Drew Brees, but I wasn't throwing. I was just, you know,
just
carrying
running.
The ball.
He was running.
Yeah. It was a really exciting atmosphere. I remember a lady Friday hanging out of a truck as we were going to walkthroughs saying, "We're going to kick your," and So I was like, "These folks are crazy, man." And, of course, you know, a few years later, I'd come down here
and tell
see
us
it.
About the outcome.
Well, the outcome was kind of wild. Todd Kinchin got called for pushing off on the DB. He caught the ball, and they called the ball back. And as a result, we were able to get the ball back. And retain the lead for the win. What's also interesting is the following year when we came to Baton Rouge, we had a play that occurred where Corey Harris went over the top. The ball got punched out, and LSU caught the ball, and they won that game. So both games actually came down to the last play before, you know, the game was over. So it was interesting. A lot of similarities.
We'll talk more with Carlos Thomas, former Vanderbilt star running back, second team All-SEC, according to Paul Feinbaum. Averaged 6 yards a carry at Vanderbilt. Lives in Baton Rouge, where he's been for 20 years, and he's now Dr. Carlos Thomas. We'll be back after this quick timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And we do want to note that today is $5 Friday. We're imploring you to sign up as a sustaining member for $5 a month, and you'll get the WRKF socks, and sustaining membership is convenient. Continues until you tell us otherwise, and $60 a year is a contribution that WRKF, if we get enough of them, can keep going as strong as we've ever been and perhaps do some things we have not done. It's your contributions that make the trains roll. It is the biggest source of revenue for this radio station. It's not underwriting, although underwriting is substantial, and it's certainly not any kind of government sustenance, which is about 10% of the overall membership, overall revenue stream. And if not for your contributions, this station would not be around. And it's been around since 1980s. And if you'd like to make your contribution, 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. And we're continuing with Carlos Thomas, who starred as a running back at Vanderbilt. And in 1990, Mike Archer, the LSU coach, was fighting for his job. He'd come off a 4-7 season the year before after winning the SEC title in 1988 and winning 10 games in 1987. And they played fewer games then, so that 1987 team for LSU was the first in 26 years to win 10 games in the season. And Archer, at the age of 35, looked like he was going to be a coaching legend, but then he had that 4-7 season, and so in 1990, he needed to do well or he would lose his job. And what happened is that he opened the season, and LSU beat Georgia 18-13, looking good. Second game, beat Miami of Ohio 35-7. The Tigers are 2-0, looking good. And then Vanderbilt comes to town. And the Commodores, on September 22nd, 1990, led by Carlos Thomas, beat LSU 24-21, and it was curtains for Mike Archer. He couldn't survive that. The Tigers were never the same. And as a result, Mike Archer ended up losing his job. Thanks to Carlos Thomas. And in came Curly Hallman. Close game the next year, but LSU prevailed in that one. But I don't think Coach O is going to lose his job no matter what happens tomorrow. But let's face it, this would be a huge calamity if LSU were to lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday.
Certainly. I think everything's in the favor of the Tigers coming out with the win victorious. It's certainly it's what I'm hoping for. I'm very happy to see Coach O get the success that he's had. Funny story, Jim. When I visited University of Miami for an official visit, Coach O was the person who actually picked me up from the airport. And I'd never heard a Cajun accent before, so I was trying to figure it out.
What year was this?
This was 1988.
So you're a high school recruit.
Yeah, high school recruit.
Where did you play your high school ball?
At Craigmont High School in Memphis.
Okay. And Coach O picks you up.
Coach O picked me up. Coach Hubbard Alexander was the coach who actually recruited me. And I'd never heard a Cajun accent. So the guy, he looked kind of Spanish, but he didn't sound like a Spanish accent. So it's just, you know, just funny how things come around, you know.
He would have been 27 years old then, and he picks up 18-year-old Carlos Thomas, and you ended up not going to Miami, but they were the premier team in college football then. You chose Vanderbilt over Miami.
I did. So they just won the national championship. In my house, there was an old adage that you were born with two balls and a bat, get something in your head. My mom was a school teacher, and so the notion of just playing football just didn't set well with her.
So Coach O recruited you, and he picks you up at the airport, and could you understand anything he was saying?
I just remember it was weird. Like, I couldn't figure out what the accent was because I'd never heard it before. Coach Alexander Hubbard was the one who actually recruited me. Coach O was a GA, I believe, at that time. So he was doing some of the grunt work that GAs do. He picked me and Casey Greer up from the airport, and he took me to the Dayland Marriott, and he said, "You want something to eat?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And I ordered a lobster, a stuffed lobster. He just busted out laughing. I figured, hey, I'm in Miami. Take advantage of it, you know?
Well, Carlos Thomas ended up at Vanderbilt, did very well, got your degree. Great Indeed. University. And a listener notes that despite Vanderbilt's tough performance in football, having never won an SEC title, Vanderbilt did win the national championship in baseball last year.
Yeah. So we're in the SEC, and baseball is nice, but in the SEC, football is king. And so I think it's worth noting something that Mark Emmert said when he was introducing Nick Saban as the new coach. He said, as LSU football goes, so does LSU. And so you can imply what you want from that quote, but we're a conference that's driven on football and the revenue associated with football. And so to me, that's the measure of success. It's nice to win a national championship in bowling, which Vanderbilt has two, and two baseball championships, but it's the SEC. So,
and they did go 0-18 in basketball last
year. Yes, yes.
But they had the player drafted very high who was hurt. So,
right.
They have been competitive in other sports. Great city, great university, but maybe not ready for the SEC after 88 years. And Vanderbilt's not alone. Vanderbilt's only never won a title. Mississippi State's only won one. Ole Miss hasn't won one since 1963. Kentucky's only won two titles in football. And South Carolina's never won a title. Arkansas's never won a title. Texas A&M hasn't. Missouri hasn't. So seven schools collectively have won three SEC football titles. LSU has 11 championships, Georgia has 13, Tennessee has 13, and Alabama has 27. So those seven schools with three championships, half of the league collectively, half of the league has as much SEC clout when it comes to conference football championships as Tulane University, which won three before it left the SEC in the year of 1965. So in the pages of Tiger Rag this week, I made the suggestion that Vanderbilt should go, Tulane should join the SEC, move Alabama and Auburn to the East Division, where they should be geographically, move Missouri to the West, and so the West would be LSU, Texas A&M, Missouri, Tulane, the Mississippi schools, and LSU, of course, would have a much easier schedule, and the fans might be able to grin and bear it if Tulane rejoined the conference.
Right. I've always said that Georgia Tech and Tulane had more sense than we at Vanderbilt. They got out when they should have, seeing some of the writing on the wall as far as what they were willing to do to actually be in the conference. You know, again, people can debate it all they want, but when you look at the numbers and when you go to the university, it's the culture, Jim. It really is the culture and the numbers that dictate that we being Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. is a huge outlier when it comes to SEC.
Okay. Well, tomorrow it's an 11 o'clock kickoff, Central Time, 11 o'clock. Sometimes that can have an effect.
Absolutely. Again, I said—
Your biorhythms are off, right?
We had an 11 o'clock or 11:30 kickoff because it was on TBS. It was the TBS game of the week back in 1990. And so there are some eerie similarities associated with tomorrow's game and the game in 1990.
Well, Carlos is an active member of our community. He's involved with an organization called Fuse Corps. Mm-hmm. And in addition to everything else, while he's lived in Baton Rouge, he's also been a professor at the University of Southern California. And by the way, Coach O was an assistant on the USC team in 2003, the year that Pete Carroll and the Trojans shared the title with Nick Saban and the Tigers. And I think a good question for Coach O is, who was better in 2003, USC or LSU? Chris in West Baton Rouge. Chris, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. Good morning, Christina, actually. I read an interesting article the other day concerning all this grouping and conferences, and it was against division and to instead use pods, and the article is very lengthy. I may forward it to you, Ms. Dingster, but it it doesn't just concern SEC. It took all of the conference into consideration, and it grouped the pods by rivals and whatnot, and it made better sense for the conference game for each. So,
all right. We're short on time, Christina, but obviously there will be changes. There always are. I remember not so long ago, 1992, Arkansas and Vanderbilt joined the league, and then just a few years ago, it was Missouri and Texas A&M and the SEC. I'm sure at some point will adjust, either adding members, subtracting members, or realigning in some way. But that's just the nature of the beast. And President Trump is calling for cadets at Annapolis and West Point to no longer have military service after their term at those great academies if they are athletes. And that would overnight make Army and Navy national powers. It would bring college football to the New York and Washington markets, and it would cause a lot of kids to go to New York and Washington who are currently we're talking about Army and Navy, who are currently playing for LSU and Alabama. So Donald Trump may in a way revitalize college football along with everything else he's doing, and apparently as president he can do this. I talked to Governor Edwards about this the other day. He says he's dead set against it, and he, like me, thought congressional approval was involved, but apparently this is just a Defense Department decision, and the president can do this if he wants to do it. So look out. Army and Navy may return to their former greatness on the gridiron. Carlos Thomas, good luck to you. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk again soon.
My pleasure.
And once again, we'd like to hear from you before the end of the hour, as in 2 minutes. This is the two-minute warning. Please give us a call, 855-893-9753, and we thank many of you who have become sustaining members today, and thanks to a new member. We want more of you to become new members. Morgan Murphy says he listens all the time and wants and loves the station and wanted to do his part. Until Monday, for Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana, and stay tuned.